Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Ashley Barlow Company podcast. I'm Ashley Barlow, your host. If you are a parent, a teacher, or someone who works at a school, or you're a community member, a volunteer, or a staff member at an organization that supports people with special education plans, a coach, a tutor, or even a grandparent, you're in the right place. Sit back with an ice cold glass of lemonade, put on your walking shoes and grab some headphones, roll down the windows and cruise. Ready, set, go. Educate, advocate, collaborate. Welcome back to another episode of Special Education Advocacy with Ashley Barlow. I'm Ashley Barlow, and I am so happy you're here. Okay, friends, I am like really pumped about something. I just, as you know, went to the COPA conference. COPA stands for Council of Attorneys, Parents, Attorneys, and Advocates, COPAA. And it is an organization that specializes in advocating for children with disabilities in school, specifically supporting parents, attorneys, and advocates. And the annual conference, if you have never been, is just absolutely incredible. And I cannot advise you any more strongly that you consider attending the COPA conference. It's just a highlight for me. Every year, and it is, the networking is incredible, the information is incredible. I just totally, totally love COPA. By the way, I'm walking around while I record this, and you know how we're perfectly imperfect around here? I just had, and you also know how I have a broken back and chronic pain, I just had one of the most amazing massages of my life, but there is no way I'm going to be able to sit down for the rest of the day because I got to keep this moving, and I'm filling my water bottle right now, and we're just going to have to deal with it because that's just what's going to happen. So at COPA, there are general sessions on starting Friday night and then Saturday and half of Sunday. But before that, there are pre-conference sessions, and the pre-conference sessions are half, full, or two-day things, and they run on Thursday and Friday. And I like the pre-conference sessions a whole lot. The main sessions are an hour and 15, and you get like, you know, kind of like a really nuanced or sometimes really basic thing that you can, you know, do something with. And I like those sessions as well. But in the pre-conference sessions, because they're longer, you can really dive in. And a lot of them are either really practical, where you get to like role play and run ideas off of other people, or they are more like practical, where you're getting lists and checklists and guides and ideas, time to bounce ideas off of other people and that sort of thing. Now you're going to hear birds and dogs in the background because I figure that's a better background and I can walk better out here. So I went to a pre-conference session on IEEs. And what I'm going to talk to you about today, very briefly, is one reason why I believe that it might be very smart to consider allowing a district to do cognitive testing, even if you are opposed to that for very many and very reasonable things. And it is couched within the house of IEEs. So that's a lot to unpack, and so I want to talk about it a little more specifically. So the IEE is one of the parent rights. You know, I think it's so exciting in special education that parents have rights because, you know, I've practiced in many areas of law, and it is not very common for parents to have rights. It's not common in divorce law for parents to have a ton of rights. It's not common in a lot of areas of law for parents to have rights. However, in special education, bum, 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 super exciting stuff, parents actually have rights. And I just think that's exciting. And one of those is the right to obtain an IEE, an independent educational evaluation. The main premise here is that schools, you know, the eligibility process and then the like re-evaluation process starts with an evaluation. And the reason it starts with an evaluation is that's our pathway to eligibility. And then we also build the IEP and the supports and services that are in it based on the student's profile from that evaluation. But the big thing is, we have an evaluation, but what if the parents disagree with it? Or what if the parents just don't feel empowered because the school did the evaluation? And maybe, you know, there's some part of it that makes the parents feel uncomfortable. Well, when they made IDEA, Congress said, we've got to level the playing field for parents. You know, all this research is telling us that parents need to be involved, and that gives us good outcomes, better outcomes for the kids. But we've got to level the playing field. So one of the ways is if the parents don't agree with the district's evaluation, they should have a right to get one and the district has to pay for it. So at the public expense, that means the district has to pay for the parent's evaluation. So that is what the IEE is. And then here's another basic concept. A lot of parents, particularly those of kids with intellectual and developmental disabilities, are opposed and have been counseled to be opposed by advocates and other parents and attorneys and multiple people to completely decline cognitive testing, to say no to IQ tests, kind of on the basis that if a district gets an IQ on a child with a developmental or intellectual disability like Down syndrome, that the district is going to use that bad test that's going to render a super low IQ to say, well, we can't do inclusion. You don't belong in gen ed, and we're going to put you in a self-contained special education unit, like a unit or a self-contained classroom or a more restrictive environment. And I think that is absolutely a pattern that occurs in America. Now, I have said on the podcast in multiple episodes that my particular opinion is that when we do cognitive testing, while the scores are not accurate and don't really depict aptitude because they aren't good at that, cognitive tests can give us a good indication of relative strengths and weaknesses, and we can get some other information from the cognitive tests. And, you know, there's a million other reasons why I think it might not be a super bad idea to do cognitive testing. And at my pre-conference on IEEs, I learned another reason why cognitive testing might not be a super duper terrible, what's the Alexander book? Alexander and the Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It seems like there's more. Horrible, Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. So cognitive tests are not always horrible, terrible, no good, and very bad. And here is, generally speaking, what we learned. So humongous epiphany, and I can't believe I haven't said this yet. This conference, this pre-conference, was presented by Melissa Waugh, who is an attorney at the Belkowitz firm in Virginia, and she is incredible. And I promise you that I will have her on the podcast. I told her before I, after I told you guys in Instagram stories that I was going to, that she was going to come on the podcast, and I didn't even ask. I was like, hey, listen, you're coming on my podcast, and we're going to talk about this and many other things within IEEs. And she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, see, I knew I didn't have to ask you. So I promise that we will tease this out with her in a future episode. But this was so good, I wanted you guys to know. So the big aha here is that Melissa looked at a bunch of case law. She's like the most thorough person I know. And in doing that, she discovered that the IEE process applies to the entire evaluation process, and the evaluation is way bigger than just like speech or OT or ed psych. If you get any kind of evaluation, that is going to trigger an IEE for the entire evaluation process. So prior to this, I thought like you got an IEE in speech and you got an IEE in OT and you got an IEE in psych. And what we learned is, eureka, that's not necessarily true. In fact, we can look at the evaluation as the entire process, including the eligibility determination. That's huge for people that have kids with specific learning disabilities who oftentimes face trouble getting the IEP, like at eligibility. And so we can talk about that in a couple times. But the big caveat to this is the district has to get the first bite of the apple. The district has to be able to test first. And so, and there's case law that says that if the parents don't allow the district to test first, then the parents don't get that IEE. So bear with me here for a second, because here is what I am thinking. So when it comes to cognitive testing, a lot of parents are like, yeah, you can do the testing, but you can't generate the IQ score. Well, if we do that, or if we say you can do academic testing, you can do executive functioning testing. I don't even care if you run something to get processing speed and working memory, but I do not want a full comprehensive IQ test. So if we do that, then we aren't giving the district the first bite of the apple. However, if we do allow the district to get the first bite of the apple, and then we disagree with it and thereby get the IEE, then we can get our own expert, our own psychologist, to either run an IQ test or to say, I didn't run an IQ test because of these reasons, and to evaluate the child and to get an independent idea as to the child's cognitive functioning and, you know, resources, supports, and services that should be made available to the child, and the district has to pay for it. So actually getting the cognitive testing might in fact trigger the IEE and basically pay for the beginning of the parent's expert, which is super exciting and something I had never thought about. So when I used to say, you know, cognitive testing doesn't really bother me because there's all kinds of supports that say that, you know, they can't use the IQ or the disability category to drive placement or to drive services or to drive teacher certification. And all of that I maintain is true. Now we have this new idea that actually getting it might give us cause to disagree and might then allow us to get an IEE and to get an expert to come into the meeting, and they have to consider the IEE. And so then we can either get a better cognitive test, like one with a nonverbal score, or we can get somebody to say, I didn't run a cognitive test for these reasons. And that, my friends, is my thoughts, questions, ideas about IEEs and those IQ tests. I completely thank Melissa for opening my eyes to this. It was a ginormous epiphany. I can't wait to tease it out with her more. We will have her on the pod sometime in the next 6 months. And in the meantime, I hope that's helpful to you. It's just kind of like my musings about IEEs and what I learned at COPA. I hope to bring you a whole lot more of the stuff and lessons and ideas that I kind of generated as a result of attending the COPA conference. So that's the deal. I hope that's helpful. I'm sorry this has been more of like a conversation with me and that I've been in 8 different rooms of my house while doing it. But perfectly imperfect is how we are around here, friends. So there we have it. Before I sign off, I do want to encourage you to follow me on social media. I put a lot on Instagram, a lot of tips, ideas, strategies, and information. And one thing I found out at COPA is that a lot of you listen to the podcast, but not a lot of you have been to my website to see what other resources I offer. And don't follow me on Instagram. So go on over, give me a follow. And if you find it annoying after a week, unfollow. But check it out. I will see you next week. Same time, same place. Thanks so much for tuning in.